gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 302. It is October 19, 2015. I first must apologize for the date that I gave yesterday's podcast. I'm sure you'll forgive me for that. Every once in a while I miss one. Today we're going to talk about suffering, at least one man's attempt to figure it out. This is not from me. I surely went into the scriptures, but every man has gone into the scriptures, I think, or many men have, and tried to find out what God has said about suffering. And it always comes up a little short, because God has ways of surprising, and we are not God. We don't understand everything about God and how He works, but what we have been given in the Word, we must look at. As much as possible, let's see what God has revealed to us. You know, it's not as easy as we're led to believe to find out about this. So, we get sick, and right away, somebody comes up to us and says, "You're being judged of God." And maybe it's true. Yeah, oh yeah, we got to put that part in. That's the part you never hear when somebody's talking like that. Maybe it really is true. We are being judged. Sometimes. Another person gets sick and he's told, "Hey, there's no spiritual significance to your illness. Write that off." Well, maybe. Maybe that's true. In some cases. You see, this is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Let's look at five different men. Five different men. They've all got a problem with their leg, a damaged leg, we'll say. Five different reasons why those five different men could have a leg that's in bad shape, a broken leg. And there may be more than five. I found five. First, the first man, we will say, he's minding his own business when he's attacked by a violent thief. There's a scuffle. And the thief manages to push the victim over a small cliff, and upon landing, he finds his leg is broken. What's the reason for that suffering that he's going to go through? The reason is the evil of men. That's one reason why people suffer in the world. It's because men are evil. And number two, here's a man. He's out enjoying nature near that same cliff, we'll say, and he's looking up in the sky at an eagle. Let's say he likes birds, he likes nature, and he sees this eagle passing over, and he's looking around. He's not as careful as he ought to be, and he falls over that same cliff and breaks his leg. Well, what do we call that? Why is that man suffering? Carelessness. The carelessness of men. The evil of men. Two different reasons. Same broken leg. Same suffering. All right, here's another one. The announcement is made of a child that's being born. Praise God, a child's born. Father rushes back to the birthplace to be greeted by a grieving mother who's just given birth to a deformed child. One of his legs will never function properly all of his life. Now, he's a candidate for healing, as the man born blind in Scripture. And so we could say, as Jesus said, this man, this deformity is for the glory of God. Or he's the one who will, God will test his patience all of his life and care for him, give him grace all of his life. And he'll do things that nobody else ever did because he depended on God. There's different ways to look at that. That's really two different things in one there. Same suffering, though. A leg that's deformed and it's out of commission, can't use it. Pain. But totally different reason for the suffering. Or a crazed shooter, as we saw not too long ago, questioning the faith of a lineup of people. And everybody, we'll say this time, everybody that belongs to Christ, I'm going to shoot you, and we'll shoot you in the leg. And that man goes down, but he suffers after that because of the cross of Christ. That's another reason why people suffer. That's the main reason given in the New Testament in dealing with suffering, by the way. Persecution. Same messed up leg, same suffering, totally different reason. Or a young rebel, he's hooked on alcohol and drugs. He gets behind the wheel. He's met by an oncoming car as Junior crosses over into the wrong lane. His leg is mangled in the accident. Idiocy, rebellion, sin, his sin is the reason for his suffering. So the next time you see someone with a broken leg, don't assume anything. Get the facts before you pray, before you won't know how to pray until you know what really went into that situation. Suffering is not as simple as you might think. All of us suffer at one time or another in our lives, but for different reasons. You, Christian worker, how are you going to deal with each of these people? How are you going to deal with your own suffering? Not the same. Suffering is not suffering. It's fruit. Suffering is the fruit of something. It's education sometimes. It's punishment sometimes. It's the sovereignty of God sometimes. It's the cross sometimes. None of it should be taken lightly. Discernment must weed out exactly what this particular suffering is about. Sometimes rejoicing is in order, as those who suffered for Jesus in the Philippian jail. Yeah, they were rejoicing because they got to suffer for Jesus, and they were in pain, and they were confined. Some people just can't stand confinement. I'm one of them. Sometimes repentance is the need, not rejoicing as a response to suffering. Sometimes pure trust should be the response. God's going to see me through this. Or patience. I don't care how long it takes. God's going to do something. God's doing something now. And sometimes miraculous faith for a healing is the response to suffering. So not all suffering is equal by any means. The proper response to your particular form of suffering will bring about the fruit that God is after. Does He want you to believe in His power? Does He allow you to share in His own suffering? Does He want you to limp as Jacob did the rest of his life as a reminder of who is in charge here? Does He merely want to take you aside, as He did Job, and give you a course in His most precious subject, and then bless you more than you ever experienced in your life? Is He making you weak so you can be strong? I don't have an answer for that. Neither do you, until you pray and wait and listen, and God will tell you. And you know, in this situation, you need to get counsel from others, because the enemy will whisper things into your ear also. Well, you're being punished. You're no good. No, you need to hear others. Read the Word. Find out for sure what this is about and respond accordingly. Ask Him what He wants before you go off in some disappointing direction. I mean, you're believing God for a miracle, and God's not going to give you that, perhaps. Or you're believing God for education. Okay, God, I know you want me to learn something through this. And you never ask God for your healing when He wants you to. So don't go either way until you're sure which way to go. But there are different ways to go when you suffer. We're going to examine some of the suffering passages in Scripture and the people of Scripture. Surely God has not left us without light on this matter. Let's look at some of the people first. Everybody's favorite and most obvious subject when it comes to suffering is Job. What can we learn from Job? Did you know that Job is mentioned by two other Bible writers? Ezekiel and James. Ezekiel, God actually, lists Job with Daniel and Noah as three of God's favorites. Yeah. Here's evidence, by the way, of the fact that we're not studying some fictional character, some work of poetry when we study the man Job. He was a man as real as Noah, as real as Daniel. Now, if you don't believe either of those guys either, then you're not a believer, because you've been fed a bunch of liberal lies about the scripture. You don't have faith in what God is able to do through real men. But these guys, Noah and Daniel, their existence is seldom questioned by true believers. Job, some people have been convinced, but God says he's real. And God loves him very much. The other interesting fact to note is that much of the book of Job is about a man who is arguing with God and life. And we get a keen insight into the heart of God, who loved Job no less in the middle of the book than he did at its peaceful beginning and his victorious ending. You know, at the beginning, how it's praising Job so much and it's showing you all the wonderful things that Job did. And you say to yourself, yeah, God really loved that man. And then you go into the middle of the book and you say, God must be really upset with this man. And then you hear him talking to Job at the end, really angrily. God doesn't love him at all. But that's not true. Not true. He loved Job equally all the way through the book. And he loves you all through your book equally. Regardless. God allows his children to speak their minds. He understands when we say stuff. He doesn't hesitate to speak his own mind either. Get ready for that. His relationships with his people are strong enough to endure some steamy conversations. He can deal with it. You better be careful, but he understands that frustration that comes out of your mouth from time to time. Better that it's not around other people. Talk to God and let God talk to you. And really listen, because you'll always be on the short end of that conversation. But go ahead, tell him. Tell him what you feel. He can listen. Worthy of note in the James comment, in the book of James, is the outtake of James of the story of Job. James says, you've heard of the patience of Job. That phrase, patience of Job. Well, you've got the patience of Job, somebody will say. It's become a complimentary description of all people from then until now who know how to endure. But while you're reading the book of Job, it doesn't seem you're listening to a patient man at all. He's angry. He's bitter. He feels betrayed. And then he's rebuked for many chapters by the one who allowed all this turmoil in his life. All we can glean about patience in that book is that the devil lost the day eventually. For the enemy had vowed that at one point Job would simply, as his lovely wife suggested, curse God and die. But that never happened, did it? Job never cursed God. He cursed his day. That is the fact of being alive. Oh, I wish I hadn't been born. What an awful day that was. And a big day be cursed. He smoked his so-called friends. He could really come down on them. He lamented the loss of his family. But in the midst of it all, he knew, didn't he? Job 19, isn't it? That his Redeemer would somehow appear and bring victory. From all of this, his Redeemer. He was going to see this person in the flesh one day. He was going to see God. He believed it. In the flesh. And he will. He will. With us. Now that's patience. It doesn't come out as strongly as you would think. But he was a patient man. He did wait in one sense. But I'm not writing about patience here. I'm examining suffering. Trying to answer the question, why? Why did Job have to suffer? He was admittedly, as in the description of Noah at about that same time of history, a righteous man. He loved his neighbors. God himself had prospered him to the point where he was overflowing with charity to others. Good father, good man of prayer, good neighbor, model character. Why Job? And I'm going to stop right there. If you need the answer to that question, you can read the scriptures yourself and pray, or we can get together again tomorrow, and I'm planning to do that, the Lord permitting. Good to have been with you today. Don't forget to go to Sermon Audio and look up my blog. Just type in under the blog part there, Books by Bob. There's a blog called Books by Bob. Or you can go to Amazon.com and you'll see the whole list also, minus that other Bob Faulkner who writes dime novels. That's not me in there. Okay, but you'll be able to see which ones are mine. Go to those and browse down through there and see if there's not something that you would profit by having. The prices on all of those are so very, very low. You'll be delighted at what you can get for a small price. We started out in Job 121, that is. Let's end there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tomorrow, Suffering Part 2.